B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun Daled. We're going to start from the Mishnah, approximately a third from the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Mokim shenoagu lehadlik es haner b'leile yom hakipurim. We're still in the perek that discusses different customs and the way a person is required to comply to them. And there were some places where the custom was that they would light lamps in their rooms, in their homes, on the night of Yom Kippur. Madlikin, in those places, one was allowed to light a lamp. Mokim shenoagu shalayla hadlik, in those places that the custom was not to light a lamp on the night of Yom Kippur, we'll soon see in the Gemara what this was dependent on. In Madlikin, in those places, they would not light lamps. However, umadlikin bebote knesiyes ubebote midrashes, either way one is allowed to light the lamps in the shuls, in the bote medrash, on the night of Yom Kippur, umavois hoafelim, and in the dark alleyways, valgabe cholim, and near the sick, in order that it should be light enough and bright enough that they should feel safe, and that those who are dealing with them and helping them should have enough light to be able to look after them. Says the Gemara, Tana, Bain she'omru lehadlik, ubain she'omru shelo lehadlik, shneim ledavar echod niskavnu. Both those customs that did light lamps on Yom Kippur night and those that didn't, they both were ledavar echod niskavnu, they both had the same intention. And Omer Rabbi Yeshua said that Dorash Rava would explain the pasuk that says va'ameich kulam tzadikim, all of your people are righteous, lo'olam yirushu oretz, and they will inherit the land forever, that bein she'omru lahadlik or bein she'omru shelo lahadlik, that those that had the custom to light lamps on the night of Yom Kippur and those that didn't, shneim lo niskavnu elo ladova echod, they both had a single intention of keeping and conforming to the halachas of Yom Kippur, and that's the amich kulam tzadikim. Some say it's mutter, some say it's aser, but they're all tzadikim, they all want to do what Hashem wants. We know that one of the halachas of Yom Kippur is that a husband and a wife don't get too close to each other. It's one of the inuim that we do on Yom Kippur, and some say that more light will prevent a couple from getting too close to each other. Others say less light will prevent a couple from getting too close to each other, but they both had the same intention to conform to this halacha of Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein mevorchin al ha'ur elo b'moitzei Shabbos. The only time that we make the bracha on the candle, on a flame, is on Motzei Shabbos. The bracha that we make in Havdalah of Boirei Mo'irei Ho'esh, when we enjoy, when we benefit, and we see a candle, a light, then you only make that bracha on Motzei Shabbos, not on Motzei Yom Kippur. Why? Hoyel utchilas b'riyasehu. Since the first time that fire was created was on Motzei Shabbos, that's the only time that it's opportune time and appropriate to make such a bracha. Omaleahu saba v'itei merabba bar bar chana. Either an elder, some say this elder was Rabba bar bar chana, he said to Rabbi Yehuda, Yisher, you said it well, you said it right. V'chein omer, Rabbi Yechanon also held this way, that one does not make the bracha of Boirei Mo'irei Ho'esh anywhere or any time other than on Motzei Shabbos. Ula havarochiv chamra. Ula was riding on a donkey. V'ozil, v'havashokil, v'ozil, Rab Abba Mine. That means, Ula havarochiv chamra v'ozil. Ula was going, was riding a donkey and going with it. And havashokil v'ozil, Rab Abba Mine. Rab Abba was walking alongside him on his right. V'rabba bar bar chana mismola, and Rabba bar bar chana was walking alongside him on the left. Omale Rabbi Abba l'Ula. So Rabbi Abba, he said to Ula, the one who was riding the donkey, Vadai de Amritu Mishmei de Rabbi Yechanon, is it true that I've heard that the two of you, Rabba bar bar chana and Ula, is it true that the two of you maintained that in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, De'ein mevorchen al ur elo b'motzei Shabbos, that the only time that you say the bracha on the fire, on the flame, is on Motzei Shabbos, hoyu l'tchilas b'riyasehu, since that's the time when Hashem created fire on that first Motzei Shabbos? Is that true that the two of you said that? Hodar Ula and Chozar Bei Barabba Barbar Chona Bishus. And Ula was looking at Rabba Barbar Chona in a not very happy way, as if, really? Did you say that in the name of Rabbi Yechanon? Did Rabbi Yechanon actually say that? Omar Le, So Rabbi Bar Bachana answered back to Ula, "Ano lav, ano omri." There was some misunderstanding. I did quote Rabbi Yochanan regarding lighting a lamp, regarding Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but I wasn't talking about whether you make a bracha or not. I was talking about actually lighting a lamp. Elo aha omri. I'll tell you in what context I quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Toni Tana kamedu Rabbi Yochanan. There was a Tana that he said the following statement in the company of Rabbi Yochanan, in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo omri. This in front of Rabbi Yochanan, it was said that Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo held, Yom Kippurim shechol liyeis b'Shabbos. What happens if Yom Kippur happens to fall on Shabbos? Do we light a flame or not? We saw there were two customs in the Mishnah where the one lights a flame on Yom Kippur. What happens if it's Shabbos? Where there's extra reason to light a flame. Do we light a flame? Af b'mokim sh'omru sh'loi lahadlik, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo held, even those places that the custom was not to light a lamp on Yom Kippur, Madlikin b'pnei kvoid Shabbos. If it's also Shabbos, you do light a lamp for the out of respect and honor for Shabbos. Va'oni Rabbi Yochanan Basrein. In that context, Rabbi Yochanan answered back and said, "V'chachomim oisrim." You should know that the Chachomim argue with what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, and they say that you don't light a lamp in those places that you never light a lamp on Yom Kippur. You don't light a lamp on Yom Kippur, even if it's on Shabbos. Only light the lamp, or the next time that you're allowed to light a lamp is on Motzei Yom Kippur. I didn't say that, which happens to be Motzei Shabbos. That means on Motzei Shabbos, light the lamp, not before. You don't need to light a lamp, but Motzei Shabbos you light the lamp. So they understood that what I meant was that the only time that you make a bracha on the lamp is Motzei Shabbos. That's not what I meant. I was talking about that even if it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to light a lamp, you're not allowed to kindle this flame before Shabbos because it's Yom Kippur, and in this place the custom was not to light a lamp on Yom Kippur. But regarding making the bracha, it could well be that you make the bracha on the lamp on every Motzei Yom Kippur and on every Motzei Shabbos. Omerli, so he said to him, Ms. Ula, said to Rabba, Ador Tehei, this is okay, that halacha could be. Rabbi Yochanan indeed could have held that way, that even if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, in those places that the custom was not to light a lamp, you don't light a lamp. But Rabbi Yochanan will hold, according to Ula, that Rabbi Yochanan will hold, and Rabba obviously is going to agree with that now. As you see, Rabba, he explained himself that you make the bracha on the lamp even on a regular Motzei Yom Kippur, not just on Motzei Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Kori olei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said the following posuk regarding Ula and Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Kori olei Rav Yosef. Mayim amukim Eitza b'lev ish. You want to know what's compared to deep waters? Is the counsel, the Eitza b'lev ish, when it's kept in the heart. Sometimes a wise person understands that even when you have something sensible to say, keep it in your heart, don't say it. However, if you don't say it, then you need an understanding person to understand what's in your heart, because you want to convey this message, but you're not actually saying it. V'ish tvuno yidleno. A man of understanding will know how to draw the water, so to speak, from deep in the heart of this person that has got the Eitza B'lev Ish. Mayim amukim Eitza B'lev Ish, ze Ula. It was Ula who understood that even though he had this complaint, so to speak, against what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana seemed to say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't say it out straight. He just looked at him, and in the hope that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana would understand that Ula wasn't happy with what he had heard in his name. So it was Eitza B'lev Ish. It was counsel that Ula kept in his heart, and he just looked at Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. V'ish tvuna yidleno, but a man of understanding who will draw it out, for this, so to speak, this water, the Mayim Amukim, these deep waters which are the Eitza B'lev Ish, it was the Ish Tvuno Tidleno. Who was this man of understanding who understood and felt what was in Ula's heart? Ze Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. He actually understood what Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, what Ula meant. Asks the Gemara, Ve'inhu Keman Svira. Those who didn't want to accept what Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that means Ula and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, they held that you make the bracha on the candle, on the flame, even on Motzei Yom Kippur. Who do they follow? Kihad Omer of Binyamin Bar Yefes, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. They hold of what Rabbi Yochanan actually said, and this was said over by Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, that Mavorchen Ala Uru, we make the bracha on the flame, Bein b'motzah Shabbos, bein b'motzah Yom HaKippurim. Also on a regular Motzah Shabbos, and also on a regular Motzah Yom HaKippurim. V'chein amor, and so the people, just look around you what the people do, devar, that's how they conduct themselves, that indeed they make the bracha of Boirei Mo'irei Ha'esh, even on a candle on Motzah Yom Kippur, not only on Motzah Shabbos. Asks the Gemara Meisvei, Ein Mevorchin Al Ha'ur, there seems to be a brisa that says that you do not make a bracha on the flame, Ela B'Motzah Shabbos, only on the Motzah Shabbos, Hoyelu Tchilas B'Riyasehu. Since Motzah Shabbos was the first time that was the time of the beginning of creation of fire. And the brisa continues, V'kiven Sheroya Mevorich Miyad, as soon as one sees the fire, straight away one makes a bracha. You see a flame, make the bracha, Boirei Mo'irei Ha'esh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't make a bracha as soon as you see the first flame. Rather, soidron ala kois, you do what we do, and that is you, whilst you're making havdalah on the cup of wine, that's the time that you make the bracha on the flame as well. V'omer Rabbi Yechanon said, alochek Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha is indeed like Rabbi Yehuda. So what do we see in this brisa? In this brisa we say explicitly that you only make the bracha on the flame on Motzah Shabbos. And then there was a machlokas whether you make the bracha only on the kois with the wine or not. Rabbi Yehuda says you say it on the kois. Rabbi Yechanon said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That means he seems to hold entirely of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue with the beginning of the brisa that you only make the bracha on the flame on Motzah Shabbos. It seems that Rabbi Yechanon holds and rules like Rabbi Yehuda, also regarding the beginning of the brisa that you only make this bracha on Motzah Shabbos, and also regarding that you make this bracha only when you're making avdalah on the kois. So you see clearly that Rabbi Yechanon holds you only make the bracha on Motzah Shabbos. Did Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes not say in the name of Rabbi Yechanon that you, according to Rabbi Yechanon, you make the bracha for the flame even on Motzah Yom Kippur, not only on Motzah Shabbos? There seems to be a contradiction in what Rabbi Yechanon holds. Says the Gemara Loi Kasha, we can explain the two. That means the truth is that both are true. Sometimes, under some circumstances, you only make the bracha on Motzah Shabbos. There's a different type of flame, that type of flame you make a bracha not only on Motzah Shabbos, rather also on Motzah Yom Kippur. Kan bo'er sheshovas. When we say that Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes said that you make the bracha even on Motzah Yom Kippur, is not talking about a new light that you lit on Motzah Yom Kippur. We're talking about a light that was actually lit. It was a light, the Holy Yom Kippur, it was Shavas. Shavas means, so to speak, the lamp, the candle, kept Shabbos, kept Yom Kippur. How does a candle keep Yom Kippur? You didn't use it for anything that you're not allowed to use it for. You're not allowed to use a candle on, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Kippur. And since the candle, so to speak, kept Shabbos, and now on Motzah Shabbos and Motzah Yom Kippur, the candle kept Yom Kippur. It wasn't allowed to be used for anything that's not allowed to be used on Yom Kippur. And the candle kept Yom Kippur. It was a light from before Yom Kippur, through Yom Kippur. Now you can start using it. You can kindle with it. You can use it as you would use a fire. And since it rested on Yom Kippur, now you can use it. You can make a bracha on that. However, kan ba'ur avonim. However, if you kindle a new flame, then on Motzah Yom Kippur, this is a new flame. The flame you just kindled didn't keep Yom Kippur. It didn't exist on Yom Kippur. And why should you make a bracha? What's changed with this flame? You just kindled a flame. However, on Motzah Shabbos, there's an added reason to make the bracha on the flame, and that is that Motzah Shabbos actually marks the time that the flame, that fire, was actually created. So on Motzah Shabbos, even if you have a new flame, you can make a bracha on it. So kan ba'ur ha'yetzim in o'etzim min avonim. However, the other quote in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, that you only make a bracha on Motzah Shabbos, is talking about a fire that came from either woods or stones, and that was a new fire that was created now on Motzah Shabbos. That type of fire, you would make a bracha on Motzah Shabbos, but you would not make a bracha on it on Motzah Yom Kippur. Continues the Gemara. Tani Chode, one brisa so we learned, Ur hayyotzim in o'etzim min avonim mevarchin olav, that a flame that was created, that was brought out from stones or woods, you do make a bracha on it. V'tani chod, in another price it says you do not make a bracha. Ein mevarchin olav, you do not make the bracha of boirei mo'irei ha'esh on a new flame. And the Gemara says, lo'ikashya, It's not a question. Kan b'motzeh Shabbos. If we're referring to Motzeh Shabbos, you make a bracha on any flame. Kan b'motzeh Yom HaKippurim. But regarding Motzeh Yom HaKippurim, there you can make the bracha only on a flame that actually was light and kindled through Yom Kippur. Then you make the bracha after Yom Kippur. But on a new candle, on a new flame, not. Continues the Gemara. We saw before discussion in the Braisa whether one makes the bracha, for example, on the flame, when you first see the flame on Matzah Shabbos, or you only make the bracha, as we do, over the kois, when you're making Avdolah on the cup of wine. So says the Gemara, Rebbe Mefazron, Rebbe would scatter the brachas of Avdolah. He would make the bracha of Hamavdil on the kois. He would make the bracha on Besomim whenever he gets the Besomim. He would make a bracha on the flame whenever he sees the flame. Reb Chiya Mekantzon, however, Reb Chiya, he would gather all the brachas together and say them all together when he's making Havdalah on the cup of wine, like we do. Omer Bitzchok Bar Avdimi, Afal Pisha Rebbe Mefazron, even though Rebbe himself would make the brachas in a scattered fashion as they become available to him, as soon as the Besomim comes to him, he makes that bracha, as soon as the flame comes to him, he'll make that bracha. However, Choyzer of a Soigdor on a Lakois, afterwards he would again recite those brachas when making Havdalah on the Kois, Kedei Lahoitzi Bonov Ubnei Beisoi, in order to be moitzi to the, that means in order that the rest of his family who hadn't yet made these brachas, his wife, his children, would be able to hear these brachas as well. And then there's a discussion whether we see from here that women are also chayiv in Havdalah. There's a discussion in the poskim how he could make the brachas a second time. Not all brachas you can make as often as you want. So these are discussions in the poskim. Continues the Gemara. That we saw before in the Gemara that the reason that on Motzah Shabbos you make the bracha on the flame, even a flame, so to speak, that didn't keep Shabbos, even a new flame, is because Motzah Shabbos marks, so to speak, the time of creation of the first flame. And the Gemara is going to come to town on that now and discuss that. Asks the Gemara, V'or b'Motzah Shabbos Ibri? Are you suggesting that fire was created on Motzah Shabbos? V'otanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Asara dvorim nivru be'erev Shabbos bein hashmoshes. During the week of creation, there were 10 things that were created on that first erev Shabbos, that first Shabbos, just before Shabbos came in, bein hashmoshes, at twilight. It wasn't yet Shabbos, but it wasn't still Friday day. It was these few minutes between Friday day and Shabbos night. And there's a machlokus in the Gemara how long Bein HaShmoshes is in other places in Shas. But either way, there is a time, a concept called Bein HaShmoshes, between in twilight, between day and night. That's when Hashem created these 10 things. Eluhain, and the following are the 10 things Hashem created. Number one, Be'er. The well, we know that in the desert it's called Be'er Oshel Miriam, Miriam's well, which was just a rock that miraculously gave the 40 years in the desert, gave Klal Yisrael water. That Be'er, that well, was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes. V'hamon, that was the mon, that was the food that was eaten in the desert 40 years by Klal Yisrael, mon that came down from heaven, that was also created then. V'keshes, the rainbow. Ksav u'michtav aluchos. The Ksav, Rashi's got two explanations here, but Rashi prefers to explain that Ksav is actually the script, the formation of the letters. Vamichtov is the writing, the pen, or whatever you're going to call it, whatever was used to engrave the Aseres Adibris into the Luchos, that was also created on the Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes. V'kivrei shel Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place, u'ma'oro she'omad boi Moshe ve'Eliyahu. The Psukim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was hiding in a cave, as well as Eliyahu Hanovi. That cave was also created then. Psichas pi ha'osein, the opening of the donkey's mouth. We know that the donkey spoke to Bilam. That mouth was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes. U'psichas pi ha'oretz livloyes ha'roshoim. We know that Korach's people got swallowed up by the opening in the land, and the earth suddenly opened up and swallowed them around, swallowed them. So this psichas piaretz, this opening in the earth's mouth, was created then. Reb Nechemya Oimer, Mishum Aviv, Reb Nechemya said in the name of his father, Af Ha'ur, so too fire was created on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes, V'ha Pered, and the mule. That means don't suggest that a mule is a mix between two animals. No, a mule was created that way. A mule was created as a mule and created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Rabbi Yeshia Oimer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Yeshia said in the name of his father, Af Ha'ayil, so too the ram that Avraham Avinu found at the time of the Akedah and slaughtered, he shechted it at the Akedah, that was also created at the Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. V'Hashomir, and there was this worm called the Shomir that Shlomo HaMelech used, to which it could cut through any stone. There's nothing in the world that is stronger than the ability of this worm to cut its way through it. And Shlomo HaMelech would use it when building the Beis HaMikdosh. That Shomir worm was also created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Af HaTzvat, the very first tzvat, which was a tongs, an iron tongs. Who created the first tongs? It was Hashem created them Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Hu Hayoimir, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Tzavso b'tzavso misavdo. How do you make tongs? You make tongs by holding this piece of metal that's going to become a pair of tongs with another pair of tongs. Tzavso kamaisa man ovid. Who created the first tongs? Without tongs, you can't create tongs. Holoi, we have to therefore say that Bria b'dei Shamayim, that the first pair of tongs was made by Shamayim, was made by heaven, by Hashem. When was that made? Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Omar Le, one of the Chachomim, said to Rabbi Yehuda, no, Efshe Yaseno, it's possible to make a tongs without tongs. How? Bitfus, you can make it in a mold that you could pour metal, iron into a mold, and that mold would have the shape of tongs, and then you have tongs without needing tongs. And then you could quickly make the whole form of a tongs. You don't need to hold a piece of metal and bend it, you just pour the iron into a mold, and here you have a ready-made tongs. And therefore, the first pair of tongs could well have been made by man and not on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes by Hashem. But that's the end of this brisa. Part of it is a Mishnah and part of it is a brisa. So we see from Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya explicitly said that fire was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, not Motzah Shabbos. So how could you say till now that fire was created on Motzah Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Lo Yikasha, Ha Ba'ur Didon, Ba'ur Didon, Ha Ba'ur Digehenim. There's a difference between our regular fire that we know about and the fire of Gehenim. Ur Didon, our fire, b'Motzah Shabbos, was created on Motzah Shabbos, as we saw before. Ur deGehenim, which fire was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, b'Erev Shabbos, that was the flame, the light, the fire of Gehenim. That's what Rabbi Nechemya said was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Ask the Gemara of Ur deGehenim b'Erev Shabbos Ibri. Is it true that the fire of Gehenim was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? V'tanya, this seems to contradict yet another braisa. Shiva Dvorim Nivru'u Koidim Shenivra Olam. There are seven things that were created even before our physical world was created. V'eluen, and they are as follows. Torah. The concept of Torah was there before our physical world was created. V'tshuva, the concept of repentance. All these things are things that without them the world cannot survive. A world without tshuva is a world that's doomed. So Hashem created the concept of tshuva even before He created the world. V'gan Eden and Gehenim, v'kisei hakovod, and the throne of glory, which is, these are all spiritual concepts. U'beis hamikdash, the concept of Beis hamikdash was there before the world. U'shmoi shel Mashiach, and Mashiach's name. So before addressing our question, how can you say that the fire of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, if it says here in this Braisa that Gehenim was created even before the world, the Braisa is going to continue to bring sources to these seven things. Torah. Where do we find the Pasuk that tells us that Torah was there even before our physical world? The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem kononi reishis darkoi. This is, so to speak, the Torah speaking. And the Torah said, Hashem has made me at the beginning of His ways. And so you see that the very before He made the world, He made me, the Torah. Tshuva. Where do we see in the Pasuk that Tshuva was there before our physical world? The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Beterim Horim Yulodu. Even before the mountains were born, etc. Uchsivan, it says afterwards in the next pasuk, it says Toshev Enush Ad Dakor Vatoimer Shuvu Bnei Adam. You return man to Ad Dakor, to pulp, and you say Vatoimer, and you say Shuvu Bnei Adam, people, son of people, son of man, repent, do tshuva. So you see that that was done even Beterem Horim Yilodu, before mountains were created. So you see here clearly that tshuva was there even before our physical world was. Gan Eden, where do we see that Gan Eden was there before our the world we know it? The Chassid says in the pasuk, "Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan BeEden Mikedem." Hashem planted a garden in Eden Mikedem, from before. So you see that even before the world, there was already a Gan Eden there. Gehenem, Tichsev, it says in the pasuk regarding Gehenem, ki oruch me'esmoil tofte. Tofte, which is another name of for Gehenem, which we saw in the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Yutes already, that the reason Eruvin is called, the reason that Gehenem is called tofte is because it's a lashon of pitui, it seduces people to do averus. So ki oruch me'etmoil, Hashem prepared since yesterday, even before the world, a yesterday. Before world, there was already this creation called Gehenem, called Tofte. Kisei HaKavod uBeis HaMikdash. Where do we see that Hashem created the Kisei HaKavod and the Beis HaMikdash even before the world? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Kisei HaKavod Moroim Meirishoin Mekoyim Mikdashenu. Like the throne of glory, Moroim Meirishoin, exalted Meirishoin even from the first being the beginning of creation, but exalted, that means even transcending beyond that, being there primary to that, even before that, like the Kisei HaKavod was also Mekoyim Mikdashenu, was the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that also the Kisei HaKavod and also the place of the Beis HaMikdash was there, Moroim Meirishoin was there even before the beginning of creation. Shmoy Shel Mashiach, where do we see that Mashiach's name was there even before Hashem created the world? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Yehi Shmoy La'olam, Lifnei Shemesh Yinoin Shmoy. May his name endure forever. And his name existed even before the sun. The sun was part of the creation. Mashiach's name was there even before. So now we have to get back to our question. So you saw here clearly in this brisa that Gehenna was created before the world. How could you say before that the fire that we use, the physical fire, that was created on Motzah Shabbos? The fire of Gehenna was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Here you see that Gehenna was created on before the world. Omri, the answer they said as follows: Chalala hu denivra koydum shnivra olam. The space of Gehenem, the emptiness, the void in which Gehenem exists, that was created before the world. Va'urdidei, however, the fire of Gehenem be'erev Shabbos, that was created on erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes. The fire, our physical fire, that was created on Motzah Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Va'urdidei be'erev Shabbos ibri. Is it true what you just said, that the fire of Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? Vatanya, this seems to contradict the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Uru Shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sheini B'Shabbos. We see now that there was a fire that was created on the second day of creation. So Rabbi Yossi says that the fire that Hashem created on the second day of creation, Ein Leichviya L'Olam, is a type of fire that never gets extinguished. What type of fire never gets extinguished? It's not the fire, the physical fire we know, it must be the fire of Gehenem. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yotzu, and they'll go out, V'row, and see, V'pigrei ho'anoshim ha'poishim bi, the corpses of the men that rebel against me, Hashem, ki toila'atom lo'itomus, for their decay, the worms, their decay, will not die, V'isham lo'itichbe, and the fire that's consuming them, the fire of Gehenem, will not get extinguished. And we see here in the Braisa that this was on the second day of creation, on Monday. V'omer of Benoah b'reid Zerubullah. Rav Benoah said, the son of Rav Ullah said, as so to speak, as proof to Rav Yossi, Mipnima lo ne'emar ki toiv b'sheini b'shabbos. If you look in the Chumash and Parshas Bereishis, on every day of creation it says ki toiv, that Hashem saw the creation of that day as being good. Except for Monday, the second day, it doesn't say ki toiv in the Pasuk. Why? Because on that Monday, Hashem created the fire of Gehenem. That's why it doesn't say Ki Toiv. Like Rabbi Yossi said, that the fire of Gehenem was created on the Monday. V'omer Belozo. Afal pishaloi nemar boi kitoiv. Rabbi Loza says it's true that on Monday it doesn't say kitoiv. However, chozar v'kololoi b'shishi, shenemar, on the sixth day, Hashem wrote that even those creations of the second day of creation, including all of creation, is nonetheless good. There's something positive that comes out with it. When the Roshoim get their atonement and their punishment, that's also a positive thing. And that was included on the Friday when it says in the Pasuk, Vayara Elokim, and Hashem saw Eskola She'osa, the entirety of creation, V'hine Toiv Mo'od, and it was very good for him. So you see that even what was created on the second day ultimately is going to be for the good. However, on the second day itself, it does not say Ki Toiv, because the fire of Gehenna was created on the second day. And this is contrary to what we saw before, that the fire of Gehenna was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, and that the space of Gehenna was created on, it was created even before the world. Says the Gemara, Elo, rather we have to say as follows. Chalolo koidim shenivra olam. The space, the emptiness, the void in which Gehenna exists, that's what was created before the world. V'urdi day, and the fire of Gehenna was created b'sheni b'shabbos, as Rav Yosi taught. V'urdi don, however, our fire was created in two stages, and that's what we saw before, that there's one statement that says that fire was created on Matzah Shabbos, which is why we make the bracha of Boirei Ma'ira Eish on Matzah Shabbos. Then we had Rav Yirmiyah that says that the fire was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. To explain that, the Gemara says that already done, our fire, b'machshava olo liboris be'erev Shabbos, the intentions to create it came forth, Hashem revealed, so to speak, his intention to create fire. That was an Erev Shabbos bin Hashmoshes, v'lo nivra ad Motzeh Shabbos. But in practice, Hashem only created the fire. He decided to create it, so to speak, on Erev Shabbos, but he created it in practice only on Motzeh Shabbos. Since the fire was created in practice on Motzeh Shabbos, we make the broch of Boirei Ma'ireish on Motzeh Shabbos. Erev Shabbos bin Hashmoshes, that's when Hashem decided he's going to create the fire. The Tani we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shnei Dvorim Olu B'machshava Liboris B'Erev Shabbos. There are two things that Hashem intended to create, and his intentions, so to speak, were revealed on Erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes, v'lo nivru ad Motzeh Shabbos, but in practice they were only created on Motzeh Shabbos. What were they? U'b'Motzeh Shabbos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Deo Ba'odom Rishon. And on Motzeh Shabbos, Hashem gave the idea to Adam Rishon, me'en dugma shel ma'ilo, somehow a type of a dugma, a similarity somewhat of creator. Hashem gave Adam Rishon the idea to create something new, and that idea he gave them on Motzeh Shabbos, and Hashem intended to do that already Erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes, but in practice he gave Adam the idea to do this on Motzeh Shabbos. And what were they? They were the two things as follows. Number one, v'hevi shnei avonim, that Adam Rishon had this idea, Hashem implanted in him this idea to take two stones, shnei avonim, v'tochan omzeh b'zeh, he ground the two stones together, v'yotza mem ur, and a spark, a flame, a fire came from those two stones. So this was the fire that was created in practice on Matzah Shabbos when Hashem implanted in Adam Rishon the idea to rub two stones together to create the fire. V'hevi shtei behemois, and Adam Rishon took two animals, a horse and a donkey, v'hirkiv zeh b'zeh, and he connected the two together, he crossbred them, v'yotzmi em pered, and a mule issued from them. And this was the second creation that was not, we saw one opinion before, the mule was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. But here we see that Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, Hashem intended to give the idea to Adam Rishon to crossbreed these two animals, a horse and a donkey, in order to issue a mule, and Adam Rishon did that on Motzeh Shabbos. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that Pered, this mule, which is a crossbreed, it's actually not a natural or straight animal, so to speak. It's a crossbreed between two animals, was actually Bimei Ano Hoyo. There was somebody called Ano, and in his time, that's when they first crossbred these two animals to issue a mule. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, in the days of Ano, what does it say? It says, Hu Ano Ashemotzo es Hayemim Bamidbar, that this was Anno, he found mules in the desert. And it seems that mules was a new concept. Till then, there was no such thing as a mule. Hashem didn't create mules. He created donkeys, he created horses. In the times of Anno, he found mules. And the Gemara says, Doyoshe Chamurois, Hoyu Oimrim, those Chachomim who used to expound and explain those difficult verses that need explaining, they found a difficult pasuk, which we're about to mention, and they explained it regarding Anno, and they explained that Anno himself, posul hayo, there was something wrong with his yichus. There was something not right about the way he came about, and it was because there was this psul in him that in his times they crossbred these animals as well. Lefikach hevi psul la'olam, because he was blemished, that therefore in his days, or possibly he was the one that first crossbred these two animals and caused a creation of a blemished creature. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Eile bnei Seir hachayri. These are the children of Seir hachayri. And the pasuk continues, Yoishvei haoretz loiton v'shoival v'tzivoin v'ano. That means this Seir hachayri, he had four sons, Loiton, Shoival, Tzivoin, and Ano. And there's another pasuk, Uchsiv, in another pasuk it says, Eile bnei Tzivoin, who are the children of Tzivoin, presumably the grandchildren of bnei Seir Achiri. They are Ayo, that's okay, that's a new character, son of Tzivoin, V'Ano, and again we have Ano. That means Ano was a brother of Tzivoin, and Ano was also a son of Tzivoin. Well, how does that happen? Elom lamed shebo Tzivoin al imoy. What actually happened was that Tzivoin, he did an aveira, he did znus with his mother. V'hoyelid mimeno Ano, and Ano was created. So Ano was also a brother of Tzivoin. They shared the same mother, and also a son of Tzivoin. And the Rishonim here discuss, and Tosfos discusses, then why is Ano considered as being a son of Bnei Seir Achiri? It wasn't his son at all. It was his grandson. But well, if so was Ayo his grandson. It was a grandson that shared the same mother as his other children. So that's something that Tosfos discusses. But either way, we see here that Ano was actually born from a corrupted marriage, he was a blemished creature. And therefore it was him that first crossbred the horse and the donkey to create the mule. Asks the Gemara of Adilma Trei Ano Hava. It's true that you asked to question a contradiction between two psukim. Was Ano a brother of Tzivoin or a son of Tzivoin? Maybe there were two Anos. Says the Gemara, no, Omarova, Amina Milsa de Shvoir Malko Loi Omra. I'm going to tell you something now that even Shvoir Malka, referring to Shmuel, whose rulings were as strong as those of a king, we know that Halacha is always like Shmuel in Dinim, and that's why he was called, he had this title of being a king, and Umanu, and who is this person who was referred to as a king, an unbreakable, a very strong king, that's Shmuel. Ikad Omra, others say, Omer of Papa, Amina Milta de Shvur Malka le Omra, it was Rav Papa who said it, not Rava who said it about Shmuel, the rather of Papa who said it in the name of Shvur Malka. Umanu, and who is that person? Rava, Rav Papa referred to Rava. We know that Halacha is like Rava in most cases, besides for three cases, that Halacha is like Rava. And he was therefore called a Shvur Malka compared to a king, and said that Omakro, that means either Rava or Rav Papa said, I'm going to tell you something that even Shvur Malka didn't say, and the Pasuk says, Hu Ano. The second Pasuk that says that Hu Ano, Ashemotzo es Hayemim Bamidbar, this Ano that he found the mules in the desert, what does it mean, Hu Ano? Who is referring to a specific Ano? That's Hu Ano de Mikora, that's the Ano in the other Pasuk that was this son stroke brother of Tzivoin. So you see that the Hu Ano says there was only one Ano, it was the same Ano, and this was the Ano which obviously was a blemished creature, so to speak, and therefore in his days, and he was the one that created the first mule. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon. Asarot Varim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Ashmoshes. 10 things were created Erev Shabbos Bein Ashmoshes Ve'eluhen. Be'er, Miriam's well, Umon, the Mon, Ve'keshes, the rainbow, Achtov, Amichtov, the script, and the stylus, which is what they used, the tool that was used to inscribe the script into the Luchai, Va'luchais, and the tablets, the Luchais, Kivrei Shel Moshe, Moshe's burial place, Uma'orosh Omad Ba'Moshe Ve'Eliyahu, and that cave that Moshe and Eliyahu hid in, Psichas Pia also in the opening of Bilam's donkey's mouth, Upsichas Pia Oretz Livlo'er Sarashoim, and the opening of the earth that was going to swallow Korach's people. Those were Shoim. V'yesh Oimrim, others say, Af Makloi Shel Aaron, we know that at some point to prove that it was Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, contrary to the claims of Korach and his people, so one of the ways that this was proven was that everybody would take a stick, they would take a staff, and it would, so to speak, be implanted in the Mishkan, and the stick that would bear the fruits would be the proof that that tribe, that Shevet, was the chosen one to be a Kohen Gadol, and Aaron's stick indeed blossomed and had almonds and blossoms on it. And this stick, that with Shkeder Uprochel, with its almonds and the blossoms, they were already created from Erev Shabbos Bein Ashmoshes. V'yesh Oimrim Af HaMazikin, some say even the Mazikim, all sorts of powers, destructive spirits and powers that exist in the world, were also created Erev Shabbos Bein Ashmoshes. V'yesh Oimrim Af Bigdei Shel Adam Rishin, some say that even Adam Rishin's clothes, Rashi's got two explanations, was it this special type of garment that had imprinted on it all the different types of animals, and that way he was such a successful hunter, or was it Hashem's, the clothes that Hashem made for him after the Avera, Kosnos Oir Vayal Bishem, the clothes that Hashem donned on him. But either way, these clothes of Adam Rishin were also created Erev Shabbos Bein Ashmoshes. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Bnei Adam, the 7 things that are concealed from people, Eiluhen, they are as follows. Yoyma Misa, the day a person is going to die, a person never knows when he's going to die. Vyoyma Nechoma, a person who needs consolation, needs a Nechoma, he never knows at what point he's going to start feeling better than he was before. Vayimika Din, the depth of judgment. And here again, Rashi's got 2 explanations. And Rashi says it's either the judgment la'osid lavoi, or just the depth, you know, the accuracy of judgment that most people fail by. Ve'in adam yudea ma b'libo shel chaveri, a person doesn't know what's in the heart of his friend. Ve'in adam yudea b'ma mistakir, nor does a person know exactly with which business venture he's going to succeed in. U'malchus beis David mosai tachzer, and when the kingdom of David HaMelech, referring to Mashiach, when that's going to return, Malchus Chayeves, and the wicked, the guilty Malchus, which we know as Romi, which is Romi, the goddess we're in now, Edoim, Mosai Tichle, when it will perish. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Shloisha Dvarim Olu B'machshov Liboris. There are 10 things that Hashem, so to speak, decided, it entered Hashem's mind, so to speak. These are not physical, Hashem doesn't have a mind in the way we do, but it entered Hashem's mind, so to speak, to create them during the week of creation. But they were only created later, whenever Hashem decided was the right time for them actually to be created. V'imloi olu, had they not entered Hashem's mind to be created, dinu sheyalu, then it would have made sense had at that point Hashem decided to create them. And these are concepts we don't understand. Hashem doesn't change his mind, and Hashem doesn't need to do things. Hashem does whatever he understands. But we're just reading the Gemara, but chas v'shalom to understand it in its literal sense. Alameis shiasriach, that Hashem decreed that a dead person, a corpse, should decompose, and a body that decomposes has a very bad smell. And it makes sense. I mean, this should have been decided right from the start, because that way people will bury deceased people. If people would not get buried, if people would not decompose, then people would refrain from burying. They would just keep people locked up as an icon, dead corpses locked up as an icon in a safe or I don't know where. And to avoid that, Hashem wanted people to be buried. He therefore caused them to decompose. V'lameis yishtakach min alev, and Hashem decreed that a dead person should be forgotten from the hearts of the people who are mourning him. V'latvur shetirokev, and the produce, that it should rot, because otherwise people will just store the produce and keep it and not want to sell it. There won't be produce available for people. So since the produce itself, it's going to rot at some point, there's more produce than the owners of the produce can actually store themselves, therefore it will cause them to sell it, and it will be available for everyone. V'yesh oimrim, some say, alamat be'o sheyetze, that Hashem also decreed that the concept of currency should circulate. This is also something that keeps the world moving. Continues, says the next Mishnah. And again, we're continuing with the concept of different customs in different places. Mokim shenoagu la'aseis melacha b'Tisha B'Av. Those places where the custom was that on Tisha B'Av they would do melachas, they would work. Oisin, they're allowed to work on Tisha B'Av. Mokim shenoagu shelo'i la'aseis melacha. Those places where the custom was not to do melachas on Tisha B'Av, ein oisin, they should not. Those people should not work on Tisha B'Av. But even where the custom was that they were allowed to work on Tisha B'Av, Talmidei Chachamim, however, the Torah scholars, Betelim, they should remain idle on that day. And it seems that Torah scholars are those that can tune into and understand the tragedy of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash more than other people, and it's expected of them not to get distracted from the mourning of Tisha B'Av by doing work, and they should focus on the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Reb Shem ben Gamliel Oymir, Lo'olam Yase Odom Atzmi Talmud Chacham, even a person who is not a Talmud Chacham, it's appropriate for any person to, so to speak, pretend to act as if he's a Talmud Chacham and refrain from working on Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Ein Tainis Tzibur B'Bovel. We know that the main Tainis Tzibur, the main times where they decreed a public fast day was when there would be a drought and rain wouldn't come down. In Bovel, there was no such issue, there was never a shortage of rain, and therefore the only fast day that had the stringencies of other Tainis Tzibur, of other public fast days, is Elo Tisha B'Av Bilvad, is only the fast of Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara, Lememra, according to you, Shmuel, it would seem, the Sova Shmuel, Tisha B'Av Bein Ashmoshes Shelai Osor. You're comparing Tisha B'Av to a regular Tainis Tzibur, a public fast day. You're just saying that in the place of Bovel, there were no other public fast days, but the halachas of public fast days are similar to the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Now, what do we know about the public fast days? V'Omer Shmuel, did Shmuel not say Tisha B'Av Bein Ashmoshes Shelai Mutar? Did Shmuel not say regarding Tisha B'Av that twilight of Tisha B'Av, those moments just before the Tzeis HaKichovim of Tisha B'Av, that we know as Bein HaShmoshes, is mutar? One's allowed to eat and work, and the fast doesn't start at the beginning of Bein HaShmoshes, it starts only at the end of Bein HaShmoshes, which is Tzeis HaKichovim. And so Shmuel says clearly that Bein HaShmoshes of Tisha B'Av is not yet Tisha B'Av. And regarding other fast days, we know that the public fast days starts already from the beginning of Bein HaShmoshes. V'chitema, are you going to suggest, Kosova Shmuel, Kol Tainis Tzibur Bein HaShmoshes Shlai Mutar? Are you going to suggest that in every public fast day, like Shmuel claims regarding Yom Kippur, or regarding Tisha B'Av, sorry, that the fast only starts at Tzeis HaKichovim, not Bein HaShmoshes, v'anantanan, it seems to contradict what we learnt in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, regarding the public fast days, oichlim v'shoisim mib'oid yoim, you're only allowed to eat and drink whilst it's still day. As soon as it comes to Bein HaShmoshes, where it's not anymore got the status of day, you're not allowed to eat and drink anymore. Limutimai, those words mib'oid yoim, what are they coming to exclude? Lav, is it not coming to exclude limute bein hashmoshes, that the twilight period is not allowed to be, you're not allowed to eat there. So you see clearly in the Mishnah that bein hashmoshes on a regular fast day, on a public fast day, you're not allowed to eat on the twilight just at the start of the fast. And nonetheless, Shmuel says that regarding Tisha B'Av bein hashmoshes, you are allowed to eat. So how can Shmuel compare Tisha B'Av to Tainis Tzibur? Says the Gemara, Loi. When it says in the Mishnah that Oichlim v'shoisim mib'oid yoim, it's not to say that Bein HaShmoshes you're not allowed to eat. No. Lemu'utei mishechashecha. It's just to say that after Tzeis HaKichovim you're not allowed to eat. But the day up until Tzeisach Kechovim, including Bein Hashmoshes, you are allowed to eat on regular fast days and on Tisha B'Av, so there's no contradiction. Says the Gemara, Neima Masayeli, we're suggesting that we're going to bring proof to this understanding that when the Mishnah says that Oichlim V'Shoisim Mibo'idyoim, now on Erev Tisha B'Av you can eat all the while it's day, actually means not only when it's fully day, but including twilight until Tzeisach Kechovim. We're going to bring proof to that from the following brisa. Ein bein Tisha B'Av le'Yom HaKippurim. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Elo shezu sveikei osur. Regarding Yom Kippur, when there's a doubt, then one has to be machmir. It's also one has to keep all the stringencies of Yom Kippur. But there, however, regarding Tisha B'Av, sveikei mutar. When there's a doubt, you can be more lenient. Mai sveikei mutar. When the Braisa says that regarding Tisha B'Av, when there's a doubt, you can be lenient, is what's that referring to? Lav, can we not assume it means Bein Hashmoshes, twilight, which is a type of a doubt. It's not really day anymore, it's not yet night. It's this doubt period in between. So we see clearly that in Tisha B'Av, when it's Sofik, when it's twilight, at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, it's Sveikei Mutar. You're allowed to continue eating, like we saw before. According to Shmuel, on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat right until Tzeisach Kechovim. Says the Gemara Loi, you cannot bring proof from this Braisa. Kedo Omer of Shisha Breider of Idi. No, this Braisa should be understood like Rav Shisha understood it. Lekviyah de Yarcha. We're soon going to see later on that there's a concept of Kviyah de Yarcha, which is establishing when a new month starts, and there was a period in time and places where there were sveikas, they didn't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, and then they also had sveikas, when is Yom Kippur, when is Tisha B'Av. So the Braisa is coming to tell us that Hochanami Lekviyah de Yarcha, so too in this Braisa, when you have a Sofik if it's Yom Kippur, you have to be stringent and fast for 2 days. If you don't know which day is the 10th, you have to fast both. However, regarding Tisha B'Av, you can be lenient, you only fast 1 day. And according to this understanding of Rav Shisha, Breider of Idi, you don't have any proof from this Braisa to what we said before, trying to explain Shmuel that at the beginning of Yom Kippur, at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, Bein Hashmoshes, that you're allowed to eat, it could well be that you're not allowed to eat, even Bein Hashmoshes. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rova. And here we're going to continue with some of the halachas regarding Tisha B'Av. Ubrois, pregnant women, menikois, and nursing women, misanois umashlimois boy. They have to fast on Yom Kippur and they have to complete their fast. So not on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, they have to fast on Tisha B'Av and they have to finish their fast, and of course in Yom Kippur also, but even on Tisha B'Av, they have to fast and complete the entire fast. In the same way as they are obligated to fast and complete their fast on Yom Kippur, so too on Tisha B'Av. And during the Bein Hashmoshes of Tisha B'Av, it is also to eat at all. And that's also said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, that the Bein Hashmoshes of Tisha B'Av is also to eat in. Asks the Gemara, "Mi'omer Rabbi Yechanon hacha? Did Rabbi Yechanon actually say this? V'omer Rabbi Yechanon, this seems to contradict something else Rabbi Yechanon said. Tisha B'Av einoy ketaynis tzibur. Not like we saw before from Shmuel. Here Rabbi Yechanon says that Tisha B'Av is not like a ketaynis tzibur. What's Rabbi Yechanon trying to impress on us? Which halacha? My love, can we not assume lebein hashmoshes that he's making a difference between Tisha B'Av and a regular tainis tzibur? Another tainis tzibur, you're not allowed to eat during bein hashmoshes, but Tisha B'Av, you are allowed to eat bein hashmoshes. So how could you hear say from Rabbi Yechanon that bein hashmoshes shelay is asur? Answer the Gemara: No, loy lemelacha. That when it says that there's a difference between the Yom Kippur and a regular tainis tzibur is not talking about eating. Indeed, it could be the Bein Hashmoshes is asur in the same way as the tainis tzibur. However, there's still a difference between Tisha B'Av and tainis tzibur, not regarding eating Bein Hashmoshes, rather regarding working itself. That on another public fast day you're not allowed to work, on Tisha B'Av, according to the halacha, you're allowed to work. Whether practically you can work or not depends on the custom, as we saw in the Mishnah. But the halacha, according to the letter of the law before the custom takes its stand, that on Tisha B'Av one's allowed to work, but on another public fast day one is not allowed to work. Says the Gemara, Melacha Tanina was, could it really be that Rabbi Yochanan was, when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tainis, that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Tzibur, was trying to teach us something about working? That wouldn't sound right. Tanina, we already learned in a Braisa. Mokim Shenoagu Lasis Melacha, but it's not in a Braisa. In our Mishnah, we actually learned that Mokim Shenoagu Lasis Melacha B'Tisha B'Av Oisin, in those places where the custom was that you were allowed to do Melacha on Tisha B'Av, you were allowed to do the Melacha. In those places that the custom was not to do melachos on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to do melachos. Even Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that we saw in the Mishnah, that it's appropriate for everybody, even someone who's not a Talmud Chacham, to act like Talmud Chacham and not, and to refrain from work on Tisha B'Av. He was just suggesting or saying that even a regular person who's not a Talmud Chacham, if he chooses to refrain from work, as the Talmud Chachamim do, there's no issue. It doesn't appear to be haughty, as if he's boasting that he's a Talmud Chacham, when in fact he's not. Aval Meisa Loy Osir. But it's clear from our Mishnah that it's all dependent on the custom, or whether it looks, appears haughty or not. But everybody says that according to the Ikar Adin, before the custom determined what they should do, it was mutter, it's not asa. So why would Rabbi Yochanan be coming to impress that on us when he said that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Tzibur, and we explain that it means that on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to work Mi'ikar Adin? Well, it's apparent in our Mishnah already. Elomai Einoi K'Tainis Tzibur. So it must be that when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainis Tzibur, and we didn't want to say that it's referring to not being allowed to eat Bein Hashmoshes. We didn't want to say that because Rabbi Yochanan said that even Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat Bein Hashmoshes. So that can't be what he was trying to impress on us. And regarding working, it can't be that he was trying to impress that on us, because it's apparent in our Mishnah that Tisha B'Av Mikra Adin, you're allowed to work. So it must be, says the Gemara, L'Tfilas Ne'ila. It's coming to tell us that even though on a regular public fast day, they would say the Ne'ila Tfilah, however, on Tisha B'Av, one doesn't say the Ne'ila Tfilah. We know the Ne'ila Tfilah only from Yom Kippur. But the other public fast days, and the public fast days the Gemara mentioned is referring to in this whole sugya, are those fast days we're going to learn about in Maseches Tainis. They're not the typical fast days that we know about today, and it's to do with the drought. But the only time that we have Ne'ilah is on Yom Kippur. On a public fast day, they would say Ne'ilah as well. Rabbi Yochanan said on Tisha B'Av is different. It's not like a public fast day, and they would not say Ne'ilah. Asks the Gemara of Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ulevai Shispalil Odom Vahilich Kolayim Kulay. How can you say that? You're not allowed to daven Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yochanan himself said that Halavai, it would be the best if a person would daven all day long, which means that there's never an issue of davening any tefillah, any day, any time. Says the Gemara, no. Hosam Choyva. Hocha Rishus. It's true that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rishus, there's permission for a person to daven any time, any tefillah. But is there a requirement, an obligation to daven Ne'ilah? On a regular fast, public fast day, yes. Rabbi Yochanan is telling us on Tisha B'Av, there is no obligation to say Ne'ilah. If somebody wants to daven Ne'ilah, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Olevai Yisbalil Adam Kol Hayom. V-boys, a different suggestion could be, my Einoi B'Tain K'Tainis Tzibur, that when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is different to a public fast day, he didn't mean regarding the Ila. And as we said before, it cannot mean regarding regarding that on Tisha B'Av you're allowed to eat Bein Hashmoshes, because he holds you're not allowed to eat Bein Hashmoshes. It cannot be regarding Melacha, because that's apparent in our Mishnah that one's allowed to do Melacha. It must, and we don't want to, or we've already said it could be regarding Ne'ilah. Another suggestion is Le'eshim V'arba'a. They would add on the Shmoyne Esra, on the 18 Brochus. It's called 18 Brochus. Today we have 19, but that's going to be discussed elsewhere in Shas. But what we call Shmoyne Esra, the 18 Brochus, on a public fast day, they would add an extra 6 Brochus, making it 24 Brochus. The Rechnen was trying to say that on a public fast day, you're obligated to say the 24 Brochus, on Tisha B'Av, not. Rav Papa Omar, another possible explanation, a difference between, according to Rabbi Yochanan, between a public fast day and Tisha B'Av, my Einoi K'Tainis Tzibur, when Rabbi Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is different to public fast day, Einoi K'Rishonois, it's actually coming to tell us a stringency. Not that it's less lenient, Not that it's less stringent than a public fast day, as we've tried to say till now. No, it's more stringent. When it says it's not like a tainis tzibur, regarding public fast days that we mentioned when there was drought, there was actually two sets. There was the first days and there was the second set of days. The first set of days were more lenient than the second set of days. So what Rabbi Eichner was actually saying was, Tisha B'Av is not as lenient as the first set of days of the public fast, rather stringent like the second set of days. Einoy, when he said it's my einoy ketani tzibur, einoy kori shoynois, it's not as lenient as the first set of 3 days that one's actually allowed to eat during the night, like most of our fasts, that the fast only starts in the morning, and the first set of fast days by public fast was only in the day. And of course, Ben Hashmoshes, but not only Ben Hashmoshes you could eat right through till the day, till the beginning, till Alois HaShachar, Elob Kachroinois V'Asuro, rather Tisha B'Av is similar to the second set of the fast days, where it's also to eat on the, not only during the day, even on the night before it, and also during Bein Hashmoshes, as we saw before, the Rabbi Eichnon says it's also to eat on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av, even Bein Hashmoshes. Says the Gemara Eisvei, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yom Kippurim. Now the Gemara is challenging Rabbi Eichnon from this Braisa. The Braisa says that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and this is not talking about where if somebody transgressed the halachas, then of course there's a difference. Tisha B'Av is only midrabbonon, Yom Kippur is deraisis, chayev koros. We're talking about lekatchila, the way that one's supposed to lekatchila keep the halachas of Yom Kippur, which is a fast day, and Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av, which is also a fast day. The only difference is elo shezeh sveikei osur regarding Yom Kippur. When there's a doubt, you have to be stringent. But regarding Tisha B'Av, then when there's a doubt, we can be lenient. And the Gemara is suggesting, my sveikei mutter. What does it mean that regarding Tisha B'Av, when there's a doubt, you can be lenient? Lav bein hashmoshes shaloi. Is it not referring to bein hashmoshes that you're allowed to eat during bein hashmoshes? And this is contrary to what Rabbi Eichnon said before, that you're not allowed that on Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to eat even bein hashmoshes. Says the Gemara, no, and this is the Rav Shisha we mentioned before. Omer Rav Shisha Breider of Idi, loy lekviya diyarcha. What that Bryce is coming to teach us is not regarding eating. On eating, not only in Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat bein hashmoshes according to everybody, but according to Rabbi Eichnon, even Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat. When it says in this Braisa that there's a leniency by sfeikli when there's a doubt, it's not talking about bein hashmoshes, which is a doubtful few minutes of the day where it's not really day, not really light. Rather, it's referring to kviya diyarcha, when there's a suffix, when Rosh Chodesh was established, and then you don't know whether it's the 10th, when the 10th of the month is for Yom Kippur, or the 9th of the month for Tisha B'Av. And then the Braisa is saying, regarding Yom Kippur, if you have a doubt, you have to fast both days. By Tisha B'Av, you only fast one day. Continues the Gemara. From the Braisa we saw before, that the only difference there is between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av is regarding Sveikai, when there's a doubt. And we said, we just explained what that doubt was. But it seems that besides for the Sveikai, everything else is the same, Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Is that true? If it's true, then that Braisa is supporting the opinion of Rebbe Loza. Domer Rebbe Loza. A person is not allowed to extend his finger into water. He's not allowed to bathe even just a finger in water on Tisha B'Av. In the same way as one's not allowed to bathe or wash one's finger for pleasure on Yom Kippur. And since in this Braisa it's clear that everything besides for Sveikoi is the same between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, so we have proof, like to what Rabbi Loza says. And the Gemara is asking our question, Meisvei. We're going to now ask a question on this assumption, on this halacha of Rabbi Loza from a Braisa. Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainis tzibur, there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and a regular public fast day. Elo shezeh osur b'siyas melacha. On a public fast day, one's not allowed to work. V'zeh mutar b'siyas melacha. But on Tisha B'Av, me'ikar adin, before the minute comes in, it's mutar to do melacha. B'mokim shenagu, in a place where the custom was to work. Ha l'chol devrim, zeh v'zeh shovim. But you see that besides for this halacha of working, Tisha B'Av and the Tainis Tzibur, all the halachas are the same. And now we're going to have an issue, because on the one hand, it seems all the halachas of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are the same, as we saw before, and now we're saying that all the halachas of Tisha B'Av and the Tainis Tzibur are the same. Okay, what's the problem with that? Ve'ilu gabe Tainis Tzibur Tanya, regarding a public fast day, it's explicit in the Braisa, she'omru, they said, osur b'rachitza, when they said one's not allowed to bathe on a public fast day, that's only washing one's whole body, that one's not allowed to do on a public fast day. Avalponov, Yodov, Raglov, if one wants to wash one's face, or one's hands, or one's feet, then it's muta on a public fast day. And since we said, Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'tainis tzibur, elo shezeh osa basiyas melocha, v'zeh muta basiyas melocha, so it's clear that on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wash your face, hands and feet, just not your whole body. But then how can you say that it's the same, all the halachas, the same as Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur you're not even allowed to wash a finger? As Rabbi Loza said, says the Gemara Omer of Papa, Rav Papa said, Tona kula kula ktoni, that all the Mishnayos we've learned, that Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'yom HaKippurim, Ein bein Tisha B'Av and Etainis Tzibur, that we're not trying to say that all the halachas are the same. Rather, the Mishnahs are coming to say that each one has a leniency, the only leniency that one has over the other. For example, that first Mishnah that we saw, Ein bein Tisha B'Av l'yom HaKippurim, it just means that there's no leniency in Tisha B'Av that Yom Kippur doesn't have, so to speak, only Shezeh Sveikei Mutter, Zeh Sveikei Oser. It's the only leniency that Tisha B'Av has over Yom Kippur. And then the next Mishnah we said, Ein bein Tisha B'Av v'tainis Tzibur. It means that the only leniency that Tisha B'Av has over Tainis Tzibur is regarding a melacha. That in Tisha B'Av one's allowed to do melachas, in Tainis Tzibur you're not allowed to do melacha. But there could well be that there's a stringency of Tisha B'Av over Tainis Tzibur, but the Mishnah is not talking about stringencies, it's only talking about leniencies. And it could well be that there's a stringency that Tisha B'Av has over other public fast days regarding washing, for example. That on another public fast day, you're allowed to wash your hands, feet and face, but on Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to. But that's a stringency. These Mishnayos are not talking about stringencies, they're only talking about leniencies. There's a leniency of Tisha B'Av over Yom Kippur regarding Sveikai, and there's a leniency of Tisha B'Av over other public fast days regarding work. Continues the Gemara that we saw back in the Mishnah, that b'chol mokim talmidei chachomim, that the talmidei chachomim, even in the places where the regular people would work on Tisha B'Av, talmidei chachomim should refrain from it. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that anybody, even someone who's not a talmid chacham, anyone is allowed to act like talmidei chachomim. It doesn't appear haughty and can refrain from work on Tisha B'Av. Says the Gemara lememra, it seems from our Mishnah, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel sovar loicheshinon leyuaro, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is not concerned when somebody does something that appears haughty. And the Chachomim v'rabbonon sovri, and the Chachomim who say that only Talmidei Chachomim should refrain from work, but in a place where everybody else is working, somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham should not refrain from working, cheshinon leyuaro. They are concerned about something that appears like haughtiness. Let's ask the Gemara of Ha'ipcha Shaminon Lu. There seems to be a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos that says exactly the opposite. It's none we learnt in Brachos. Chosn, the night of his chasna, and his mind is otherwise preoccupied with the mitzvahs he has to do, and he hasn't got a clear mind in order to say the Shema with the appropriate kavona. This is not a halacha that applies nowadays, but back in the day when people had tremendous amount of concentration when saying Shema, and the chosn could not have that level of concentration, the Mishnah says, Im yirtze likros kriyas Shema, this chosn, the Tanakama hold, if this chosn wants to say kriyas Shema, either because he knows that he's this very great person who can concentrate, or we assume that he cannot concentrate, but nonetheless he wants to say Kriyas Shema. He does not want to give up on this opportunity of saying Shema as he does every day. That Likras Kriyas Shema Laila Rishon, on the first night when he's getting married, Kaira the Tanakama say he's allowed to say Kriyas Shema. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel answers and says, no, Loi Kol Aroitz Litoil Es Hashem, Litoil, not everyone who wants to act like the big tzaddikim and talmidei chachomim who are able to concentrate in all situations. No, you're a young chosn. You don't have the name of being this great tzaddik. You can't just take that title of tzaddik and act like a tzaddik. It appears very haughty and is inappropriate. So you see from there that it was Rav Shem ben Gamliel who's worried about appearing haughty and the chachomim who are not. Answers the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlefes Hashita. One of these two seem to be a mistake, Rashi says, that one of the recordings of these Mishnayos seemed to make a mistake and the names got switched, and indeed, there's no contradiction. Rav Shisha Breider of Idi Omar, Rav Shisha Breider of Idi says, Loi Tepach, you don't need to reverse either of the opinions. And I'll explain to you why there's no contradiction between the Chachomim or Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, between the halachas of not doing work on Yom Kippur and yes, saying Kriyas Shema on the first night of the Chasna. Drabonon ad Rabonon lo kashya. There's no contradiction in the Rabonon, that even though in our Mishnah they say that if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you should not refrain from working on Tisha B'Av in the place where the custom was to work on Tisha B'Av, and nonetheless, regarding Kriyas Shema, they do allow the Chosn to say Kriyas Shema. Hocha, over here, regarding working on Tisha B'Av, kiven de kule alma avdi melacha, since all the people besides the Talmidei Chachamim are working, v'yu loy ovid, and he's not working, it's very clear, everyone can see, why is he not working? He's haughty. He's trying to act like a Talmud Chacham when he's not a Talmud Chacham. Merzek yuaro, it appears haughty, and therefore the Chachamim say, don't do that. Aval hasam, regarding the chosn, kiven de kule alma kori. So he's not doing different to everyone else. The according to the Chachomim, the main determining factor whether it appears haughty is he doing something different to everyone else? Everyone's working and you're not working, that appears haughty. Everyone else is saying Krishma. V'yunamikor, he's just saying Krishma with everyone else. Loimer Zekura, it doesn't appear haughty, even though there's a reason that everybody else can say Shema and him not, because he's the Chosn and his mind is otherwise preoccupied and other people's not. No. Since he's doing what everyone else is doing, it does not appear haughty. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, lo kasha. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, there's no contradiction there either. Even though regarding Kriyas Shema, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, don't say Kriyas Shema on the first day when you're getting married. And regarding not working on Tisha B'Av, he says, anybody can refrain from work. It's also not a contradiction. Hosam huda be'inon kavana. In the case of Shema, everybody knows, in order to say Shema the way appropriately, one has to have a very high, intense level of concentration. And vanan sada, we take it for granted that delo motzi kivna daite, that he's not able to concentrate to that level. Why are you saying the Shema? Everybody knows you're not concentrating. Why are you saying Shema? Because, so to speak, you're boasting as if you're a Talmud Chacham. That appears haughty. Don't do that. Merzek yuara. Aval hocha, but in the case of not working, leimer zekuara, it doesn't look like he's haughty. Omri, people who see that he's not working, it's true that all the other lay people, laymen, are working, and he's not working, they'll just say, melocha hu delesle, he simply doesn't have any work. Puk chazi, go out and have a look. Kamo batlone, ik b'shuka, how many idle people there are in the marketplace. I mean, saying Krishma when everybody knows that you need the concentration level that you chosn don't have, that's haughty. Not working when other people are working, it just means I'm out of a job. Or it could mean I'm out of a job. It doesn't appear haughty, and therefore, according to Shimon ben Gamliel, he says anybody is allowed to refrain from work on Tisha B'Av. In Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.